like to call the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Today's Tuesday, February 18th. We are in the Belts Room of the Thomas Stewart Building, and it is 1:32 p.m. We do have a quorum to do business. We have Senator Stevens to my right and Senator Costello to my left. Senator Rivack will be along shortly. And Senator Gray Jackson, I believe, will be as well. So we do have a quorum, and we can start. So thank you all for coming today. I'd like to recognize our staff, Kari Cooper-Rader from Senate Records, Mr. Nate Williams from the LIO, and Cody Grusendorf from our office. On our agenda today is confirmation hearings. We do have five this afternoon. The Labor and Commerce Committee is going to be kind of busy for the next several weeks getting through these confirmations hearings so we can get them to completed so we can have a up or down vote at that time in a joint hearing. After that, we're going to hear from Senator Olson, Senate Bill 172, and that's to extend the state medical board, and we'll hear from our auditor as well, Ms. Curtis. So thanks for coming. All right. For all appointees, we have five confirmations today. When called on, please place your name, affiliation on the record, give the committee a brief introduction of who you are, tell us why you want to serve on the board or commission you are appointed to. The committee may have questions for you once you are finished. After we have finished with all confirmations for the day, the committee then will advance your names to a joint session where you will be voted on for confirmation. And today's hearing is not a recommendation of a yes or a no vote for that joint session. And we will be taking public testimony after we go through all five. So Pamela Steffes, I believe, is up first. And she's online, Nate. Is that right?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This, please put your name on the record. We can hear you. And did you understand the outline of events for your testimony?
Yes, sir, I did. This is Pamela Steffes. I'm originally from Sitka, a 1990 Sitka High School graduate. I've been working at Search in Sitka as a hospital-based optometrist for almost 21 years, serving our patients from Yakutat down to Prince of Wales. I'm a fellow of the American Academy of Optometry and a diplomate for the American Board of Optometry. I've had the pleasure to serve on the Alaska State Board of Examiners in optometry for the past 4 years.
Okay.
I would like to continue serving on the board as we work to implement the regulatory changes made possible by the legislature in 2017. As a hospital-based optometrist, I believe I have a slightly different perspective as we work together to govern the practice of optometry and ensure public safety.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to tell us before we ask some questions?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Committee members. Senator Stevens.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Steffes. Thanks for your service on that board in the past. I was just going through your resume, and you have an interesting educational background from a B.S. at 94, a doctor of optometry in 98, then back to college for a master's in business administration. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Certainly. Chemistry really was the basis that gave me the information to get into optometry school. I knew pretty early that that was my goal. I found it a little bit more interesting than biology. Optometry school, I had the good fortune to work for an optometrist in Sitka and learned that that was the goal for me and was able to complete that in 98. I do also serve for the Native Corporation in Sitka, and that capacity drove me back to get the Master's of Business in 2012.
Well, thank you, Dr. Steffes. That's a great educational background. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Further questions from committee members? Seeing no further questions, you pass with flying colors, and thank you. So just hang on. We're going to take some public testimony at the end, but you just might want to stay on the system until we're finished with public testimony. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next we're going to go to, let's see, who we got? Deidre Ford, Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. Are you there?
Good afternoon. Thank you very much. My name is Deidre Ford. I was reappointed to be chair of the Alaska Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. It was my pleasure to serve the past 3 years in that capacity. My late husband and I came to Alaska in 1978, and I fell in love with the state, and I consider it paradise. I came out of retirement to take the chair of the commission, and I find it a wonderfully challenging and exciting opportunity to pay back some of my luck in living in Alaska. I came up as a librarian, and there were no library jobs available since it was the height of the pipeline days, and all the libraries had a lot of people, and the state of Alaska enabled me to return to school and become a lawyer, and I practiced employer's defense work for about 20, 25 years, and then I went to the Alaska Workers' Compensation Board as a hearing officer for 3.5 years, and then I retired for a couple of years, and several people on both sides of the bar asked me to come out and apply out of retirement and apply for the chair of the commission, and it's been my pleasure to try to bring some stability to the commission, and I look forward, I hope, I look forward to serving a few more years.
Well, thank you for that, and does committee members have any questions? I just like to thank you. Senator Stevens, please.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I again, thank you very much, Deidre, for your commitment to the state. What type of time commitment is it to chair this board? And is that something you're comfortable with? Obviously, you must be.
It's a 5-year term. I filled the last 3 years of somebody else's term, and I was enjoying the work, so I thought, why not sign up for 5 years? You know, none of us know what bends are in the road ahead, but I hope, God willing, and my health and stamina stay with me, I can serve out the full 5 years.
Well, I hope so. And, Mr. Chairman, can you tell us, and give us an idea of the time commitment to the, weekly, monthly, yearly, whatever, however you want to look at it?
Oh, you mean the day-to-day work of the...
Right.
Okay. Well, you know, it fluctuates slightly depending on the number of appeals, the number of oral arguments, the complexity of the cases, but I'm usually in the office 7.5 hours a day, 5 days a week. We're looking at doing some regulations revisions, if we have time when there are not cases pending. So it's a little hard to say because, you know, there may be a few days here and there where you kind of walk into the office and say, okay, what am I doing today? Oh, maybe this will be a good time to work on those regulations because I don't have an oral argument pending. I don't have a motion. I don't have a brief to a decision to write for the commissioners to review and edit and evaluate. But, you know, it's pretty steady over the course of the year.
Thank you, Deidre. I certainly appreciate that. It sounds almost like full-time.
Well, it is a full-time position, and, you know, with a few exceptions, I would say it is fairly full-time.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? Deidre, thank you for reapplying, and I appreciate your dedication and your knowledge to helping injured workers in Alaska get a fair hearing.
That is my goal.
Thank you. All right, seeing no other questions. Senator Rivak's been with us for quite some time, just for the record. All right, next we're going to go to Amy Steele. Amy, would you put yourself on the record and give us an overview of why you're wanting to continue on the Appeals Commission?
Yes, good afternoon. My name's Amy Steele. I'm seeking confirmation as an employer representative commissioner on the Alaska Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission. I believe you've already received my credentials, and what you'll see, I was a previous board member of the Alaska Workers' Compensation Commission, or excuse me, Compensation Board, since 2011 until 2019. I have an extensive work history in the workers' compensation industry, which I believe makes me an excellent choice for a commissioner. I want to serve because I feel that I have the specialized knowledge in workers' compensation that's beneficial to the state of Alaska. I'm currently a senior claims coordinator for the Chiniga Corporation. I oversee our workers' compensation claims as well as other insurance matters for the company. And we are, so I oversee claims that are across all the United States, so I get a chance to learn about and work in different jurisdictions, which I can bring that knowledge back to our workers' compensation board and apply that knowledge and have that. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have for me.
Senator Reback has a question for you.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Steele. I was curious, in honors, awards, and involvement, you mentioned the Zurich Western Customer Roundtable. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about that and your involvement.
The Zurich North America is the insurance company that my current employer utilizes for workers' compensation, and they choose employers from around the country to participate in different topics and discussions. And so in the past, they've asked me to participate in that with the knowledge that I have in workers' comp and provide feedback about different topics.
Any follow-up, Senator Reback?
Oh, well, it sounds like great experience. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I appreciate and want to thank you for putting your name forward. You definitely, you've got a great background. And I only got one little question is, you went from biology and chemistry to work comp.
Yeah. Yes, that's the question. I did right after college. I was in upstate New York. I moved to Georgia with some friends. And my first job I thought was going to be doing some water sampling. And when I went to start doing that, they thought that I might be a better fit running some of their drug screening and some OSHA programs instead. So I opted for that and then moved around a little bit on the East Coast and started into risk management and then ended up in insurance. So that's kind of how that path took me.
All right. Well, very good. Well, thank you. Seeing no other questions, we'll go on. We're going to go to the room now and have Ms. Vinson come up, Eleanor, and put yourself on the record and tell us about yourself.
Hello, my name's Eleanor Vinson. Going by what the others have said, I have a degree in sociology. My husband and I moved here in 1977 to Valdez, and I lived in Valdez, Vero, and Juneau, and traveled all around the state, as one does after that many years. And I think that'll help a lot with when people have problems that they come to the board with. I think it'll help knowing how different yet alike the state is. And I retired. I had worked in the department that has, in commerce, it's changed names a few times, but I did professional licensing for many years. But when I retired, I was ready to not quit doing things. So I was appointed to the Board of Professional Counselors as a public member.
All right, thank you. Questions from Ms. Vinson? All right, seeing none. I'm going to take a brief at ease, and you can go back to your seat just for a minute. Go now to public testimony. See if there's any public testimony. Any public testimony? No public testimony. Public testimony is closed. Okay. Next, we're going to go, and in accordance with AS 3905080, the Labor and Commerce Committee reviewed the following recommendations. The appointments be forwarded to a joint session for consideration. Board of Examiners in Optometry, Pamela Steffes, Board of Professional Counselors, Eleanor Vinson, Workers' Comp Appeals Commission, Deidre Ford, and Amy Steele. This does not reflect an intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the document. Good afternoon. We're back on the record. Next up is Senate Bill 172, Extend the State Medical Board. This is the first hearing of the bill. We will be taking public testimony today. The committee will hear an introduction by Senator Olson and staff Elizabeth Rexford. Welcome. Chris Curtis, our state auditor, here to discuss the audit and recommendations. Sarah Chambers is here to discuss the fiscal impact from commerce. Senator Olson. The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you very much, Chairman Bishop and distinguished members of the committee. Senate Bill 172 is an act that extends the life of the State Medical Board for 5 years. It's gone through a couple of audits during this period of time, and we can go into some of the more specifics of the audits that were found. But what the State Medical Board is a group of people made up of a number of physicians, a number of lay people that are there that go ahead and look at some of the new people that are going to be, that have applied for medical licenses, and as well as those people that are not just medical doctors and doctors of osteopathy, but also paramedics and other medical licensees that are under that purview. And what this board, does is essentially safeguards the people of the state of Alaska to make sure that people are in compliance, people have not been acting out of character, and we, as when I was on the medical board, the main thing that we had to do was to make sure that we were had people that were applying for licensures that were foreign medical graduates, and that so this simply extends that function of the board as it has every 5 to 7 years.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Senator Olson from committee members? Seeing none, Ms. Curtis, thank you, Senator. And we'll have Ms. Curtis come up. And you know the drill, Ms. Curtis, and tell us all about it.
For the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I'm your state legislative auditor. So the Division of Legislative Audit did conduct a sunset audit of the Medical Board. It is dated April of 2019, and I believe you all have a copy of it in your packets. And just as a reminder, a sunset audit, the purpose of it is to determine whether a board or commission is serving the public's interest and whether it should be extended. So overall, we found that the board served the public's interest by effectively licensing physicians, osteopaths, podiatrists, physician's assistants, and paramedics. The board monitored licensees, and they worked to ensure that only qualified individuals practiced in Alaska. Furthermore, the board developed and adopted certain regulatory changes to protect the public, improve the licensing process, and improve the delivery of services. The audit also concluded that the board did not serve the public's interest by inconsistently reporting board licensing actions to the Federation of State Medical Boards. In addition, the board did not adopt regulations to guide or to require licensees to register in the Controlled Substance Prescription Database and did not adequately monitor licensees to make sure that they registered. We are recommending the legislature extend this board 5 years. There's a background information section of the audit. It begins on page 5. In this section, we explain that Senate Bill 74 required occupational board licensees that prescribe controlled substances to register with the Controlled Substance Prescription Database maintained by the Board of Pharmacy, and this requirement was effective July of 2017. The database is intended to reduce the misuse, abuse, and diversion of controlled substances. Practitioners are now required to check the database prior to dispensing, prescribing, or administering controlled substances with certain exclusions. The report, so that concludes the background information. Going into report conclusions, the report contains board licensing and financial information. There's a schedule of licensing activity on page 11. If you look at Exhibit 2 on page 11, you will see that the board issued just about 1,600 new licenses from July 1st, 2015 through January of 2019. And at the end of January 2019, they had active licensees of approximately 5,073. And this represents a 9% increase when compared to the prior 2012 sunset audit. If you turn to page 14, you'll see a schedule of revenues and expenditures for the board. And this shows that at the end of FY18, the board had a deficit of just over $800,000. And in response, the board did increase fees. And you'll see the schedule of fees listed on page 15. We do make three recommendations for improvements. They begin on page 18. First, we recommend that the board adopt regulations to guide the process of registering with the Controlled Substance Prescription Database. Senate Bill 74 included uncodified law that directed the boards that licensed occupations with prescription authority to adopt regulations to implement the law. Rather than adopt regulatory guidance for registering, the board expanded the regulatory definition of unprofessional conduct to include licensees that failed to register. The board members did not consider the importance of establishing regulations to guide the regulation process and believed expanding the definition of unprofessional conduct was sufficient to satisfy the requirements of Senate Bill 74. The lack of regulations, we believe, regarding registration increases the risk that licensees will not register, which limits the database's effectiveness. And this is what we found when we tested the applications, and moves us to recommendation number two. The board should develop procedures to ensure licensees with a DEA number register with the Controlled Substance Prescription Database. Auditors noted that 26% of new license applicants we tested and 31% of renewal applicants we tested had not completed registration in the database. And that's a fairly high level of noncompliance. The board and the Division of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing failed to enforce licensees' registration due to a lack of procedures and the board's decision to allow licensees a grace period to adjust to the new requirements. Moving on to recommendation number three on page 20, we recommend the board chair work with the Division of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing Director to implement procedures to ensure board disciplinary actions are reported in accordance with state law. The audit found that 31% of the disciplinary actions issued between July 1st, 2015 and January 2019 had not been reported to national databases. The actions were not reported due to a misunderstanding by staff regarding what types of actions qualified or were required to be reported. Additionally, we noted a lack of written procedures to ensure the actions were correctly reported. The national database is designed to restrict the ability of incompetent physicians to move from state to state without the discovery or disclosure of a physician's damaging or incompetent performance. The failure to report disciplinary actions increases the risk to public safety. Responses to the audit are found at the back of the audit. The Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development's response is on page 31. The commissioner stated that corrective action has been taken to ensure that the disciplinary actions are reported in accordance with state law. And the board chair's response is on page 33. In response to recommendation number one to adopt regulations, the board chair reiterated her belief that the statutes clearly require the licensees to register, so regulations seem to be unnecessary. She also states that the regulations that they did create were reviewed by Department of Law and found to be sufficient. However, the chair does state that the board will consult the Department of Law and take any action deemed necessary. In response to recommendation number two, to develop procedures to ensure licensees actually register, the chair stated that the procedure has been created now to ensure compliance. The chair also stated that it was not the board's intention to grant a grace period for complying with the law. The board only intended to grant a grace period for enforcing the law. The chair agrees with recommendation number 3 to implement procedures to ensure the disciplinary actions are reported to the national databases.
Thank you. Questions from committee members?
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, Senator Stevens.
So, thank you, Ms. Curtis. So normally this would be extended to 8 years, as I understand it, and you're recommending 5, is that right?
Yes.
And you think these issues would be corrected in 5 years?
Through the chair, we don't have a mechanism to go back in and check until a new audit has been is due. I certainly hope so, but we won't check until they're up for sunset again in 5 years.
So your recommendation would be 5 years, less time than that you think would be unnecessary, like 3 years or?
Well, through the chair, we will be going into the Board of Pharmacy for another sunset, and we will be doing a hard look at the Controlled Substance Prescription Database overall, as that was the reason why we gave them, I believe, a 4-year extension last time. So we'll have the opportunity to look across all professions and see and check the degree of compliance.
Thank you.
Senator Costello, do you have a question, ma'am?
Yes. Thank you, Chris, for your thorough work. It's always interesting, to have the audits reported, and usually there's nothing noteworthy, but this is pretty surprising to me. I know that the legislature spent a lot of time discussing the prescription drug database, and I had felt that there would be a level of public protection in that, and it looks like we don't necessarily have that. And my question, Mr. Chair, I think is actually more for an attorney, okay, but I just wanted to throw it out there so that it's out there so that maybe the next meeting we can get it answered. But if there's an abuse of prescription drugs in Alaska and it is found that the board wasn't doing their due diligence, I mean, they weren't tracking and they aren't asking people to report and they haven't written regulations, who is liable for if there's a death or some sort of egregious result of the abuse? I mean, would it be the board or would it be the physician?
That's a good question, and I think maybe we'll have the Department of Law up at the next meeting and you can ask them that question.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions for committee members? Just as a chair, I mean, I'm concerned. I mean, it was typically an 8-year extension. Now we're recommending a 5, but you know, we passed Senate Bill 74, which it makes reference to. I believe that was 3 years ago, and we're still not, appears to be, in compliance 100%, right? And we have this epidemic out there, and the right hand needs to be talking to the left hand so we can slow this epidemic down. So we're going to hear and hold this bill today and talk with the bill sponsor and some other folks to see if we need to get this right, as right as we can get it before we send it off to finance. So thank you. All right. Next, Ms. Chambers, I believe you're up. And you want to talk about your fiscal note a little bit? And any other comments that you'd like to make?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sarah Chambers. I'm the director of the Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. With me, I have brought Alicia Jones, who is the brand new executive administrator of the medical board. She was appointed in end of December, so she's joining us after the audit, but I wanted her to become a face that you all got to know, and we'll do our best to we'll go through the fiscal note but also be available to answer any questions from the operational side of the audit. And then I do believe the board chair is also on the phone to answer any questions. So, Mr. Chairman, as requested, the fiscal note audit fiscal notes are always interesting because the current law says that the board will sunset. So in FY 2021, there is no appropriation for the medical board because if the law doesn't change, they will go away. So it looks kind of backwards. This is not really a new cost. It's the current cost of the medical board. We just have to put it in there because there is no medical board starting next year if the law, if this bill doesn't pass. So the medical board expenses for the board itself are what are reflected. Under AS 0803, if the board sunsets, the division takes over the responsibility of licensing. So this is not a cost of licensing or enforcing. This is just the cost for the people that we call the board. So there is $30,000 in travel for the 8 board members and 1 staff to attend 4 board meetings a year. There's public noticing of board meetings, training and conference fees, and per diem stipends for board members. They do not get paid. They just get paid reimbursed for their travel. So this is the just the expense of continuing the board and is what that those costs are today. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Questions for Ms. Chambers? Seeing none, I don't see any. So thank you, and you'll be back probably next week when we bring this bill back up. But we're going to go to public testimony now. We have 3 people online, and we're going to start with Tim Olson with the State Medical Board in Anchorage, and I see you're online for testimony. So we're opening public testimony. Mr. Olson.
Hello, Mr. Chairman. My name is Tim Olson. I am a physician assistant on the State Medical Board. I am the current incoming chair of the board, and I just wanted to basically give the testimony that acting on the board as well as in the future, that 100% of the findings of the sunset audit will be addressed. The I wanted to highlight the positive aspects that were found in the sunset audit, that the board was able to accurately license and monitor the licensees, but then also the changes that were incoming does have a bit of a period to allow for certain monitoring to be changed, and I think that all of those will be able to be worked through within a very short period of time.
Okay, comments from Senator Stevens?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you be more specific about what you mean by in a short period of time? 100% of the audit will be taken care of. How long will that actually take?
From my standpoint and from my position on the board, all of the basically regulations that SB 72 asked for the guidelines to be made by the board will be able to be passed. I believe that the reason why there was inconsistency is the not perfect clarity between the exact guidelines set forth for the medical board. And now that the understanding is there, it is very easy and clear to set the correct guidelines.
And thank you, Tim, for that comment. Can you give me some specific times when you think everything will be taken care of?
I think one unfortunate thing is that there's a very large changeover in state medical board members. So that's the only thing I can't comment on. I know that for a current quorum, it merely takes another meeting over the phone, which can be done in the next month.
Thank you.
All right. Other questions from committee members? Seeing none, the other 2 folks are online for questions only, and that was the auditor for the Division of the Legislature and Catherine Heinemann from the State Medical Board from Dillingham. If anybody has questions for either one of those two people, they're here for questions only. All right, I'm going to leave public testimony open. My office is going to be talking to committee members, next steps, working with the bill sponsor, and we will bring this bill up when we're ready to go with the pathway forward. And any other final questions from committee members? Seeing none, we're going to adjourn. Before I do that, Senator Olson, would you like to have any final wrap-up comments, sir?
I think that the thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity. I think that what was brought out by the auditor was something that needs to be taken care of, and it sounds like they are heading that direction. In as a licensee myself, holding a medical license, it is somewhat cumbersome to go ahead and try and make sure that you've got everything in order, especially when you've got a busy schedule and you're torn between the responsibilities you have with your clinic, the people you're providing care to. So I'm anticipating, though, that in spite of that, the board will come together and will go ahead and correct some of the issues that have been brought out by the auditor.
Thank you.
I thank you for your leniency.
Thank you. So we'll be working with your office and committee members, like I said. And so with that being said, seeing no further questions from committee members, we're going to adjourn today at 2:15. Thank you.